Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
And now it's time for sex therapy and we've Rachel Cook on the line. Hiya Rachel, how are you?
Morning Jen, I'm great thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Now we were talking about insects and crazy stories earlier on and you were listening and you actually have a story about a tick. Go on.
When I was in Ecuador, yeah, it's really bad. A few years ago, I was in Ecuador and I had a terrible time there. It was the only country in South America that I didn't enjoy for various reasons. But yeah, about 2 weeks after I left Ecuador, I discovered that a tick had been living in my like hairline and I just had somehow missed it and it had just been growing for like 2 weeks and I found this huge bad boy after a fortnight and...
Oh my God, how'd you get it out?
Well, I sort of just thought it was like, you know, when I found it, I was like, God, is this like a splinter or what's going on? And then just like really grabbed it and it ended up bursting on my hand.
Stop! Oh my God, Rachel, that is terrifying. Okay, listen, you've terrified everybody. It's time to get back to the day job because it is time for...
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Who had a tick living in her hairline for 2 weeks. Oh my God, Rachel. I don't think I'll ever get over that one. Now listen, Rachel, this week we want to talk about sexual compatibility after an email we received into the show from one of our listeners. And just to let you guys know out there, if there's anything you want Rachel to talk about, please get in touch at jen@rte.ie. Now this email says, "Hi Jen, could you please ask Rachel about sexual compatibility? I've been with my husband for 10 years, married 5, and from the beginning, I have had a higher libido. Now, it's usually the man who has more of a sex drive, but in our case, it's me. It's got to the stage now where I just don't bother, only wait for when he wants it. When I try to talk to him about it, he shuts me down and says we have a normal sex life. I don't want to force him to have more sex, but I do want more. Can Rachel please advise on this?" That's from Anonymous. So Rachel, what? First of all, we don't hear it that often, but what is sexual compatibility?
Yeah, there's no sort of official definition, but it's basically the extent to which a couple perceives that they share either similar or complementary sexual beliefs, preferences, desires and needs with their partner. And that includes a lot of things. That can be your definition of sex, the frequency and duration of sex, the preferred environment for it, your preferences in types in actual types of activities to do, your turn-ons and turn-offs, also your relationship orientation, your styles of communication about sex, very importantly, your motivations to connect sexually. And then I would also say your core values and beliefs about things like pleasure, need, expression, exploration, reciprocity, generosity and care. So basically, the more similarities you have in your answers to those things, generally, the more sexually compatible you are. And we can go into some of those things like environment, you know, like things like where you like to have sex, whether the lights are on and off, if there's music playing, and even things like room temperature will all factor into your preferred sexual atmosphere. So there's often quite a bit of wiggle room. But if one of you wants sort of nighttime sexy time with the lights off to Lady Gaga and the other person wants to bone to Barry White in the morning, there's probably going to be just some friction there, understandably.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider, but can you ever be completely sexually compatible with someone?
Absolutely not. Good. No way. Sometimes in the beginning, sometimes when people have either talked about it a lot beforehand or the odd time it'll happen organically for a period of time, that might be a few weeks, months, the odd time I've heard of people managing to be very, very compatible for years at a time. But I would say like this is, especially in regards to libido, you know, mismatched sex drives, that is going to affect, I would say, 90% of couples at some point. And 75% of people say that it affects them regularly.
Yeah.
So you're never going to find two people that are completely compatible sexually. But I think often the most important part of compatibility is the willingness to work on it. You know, the idea of a perfect fit is a myth, but it also doesn't have to mean that you should be compromising to the point where you feel, you know, really uncomfortable, totally exhausted, totally neglected by your partner. So I think there's about like finding this balance, which, you know, I feel like I now, instead of banging on about lube the whole time, I'm banging on about having the chats. We've just got to talk to each other more.
Can you stay with someone who you're not sexually compatible with, even if you love them?
You sure can. But I suppose any of us will have to weigh up how important that aspect of our lives is to us. And also, there's usually lots and lots of things that we can do. You know, there's loads of things you can do when you're not on the same sexual page.
Like
what? So you can consider, like, well, how big are the differences? If you want to be having sex three times a week and you're only having sex two times a week, but the sexual relationship is otherwise good and the rest of the relationship is good, you can probably compromise. But let's say if your partner is into very specific types of kink, or maybe only wants to have sex once a month, wants to have public sex, and you're not into any of those, the differences may just be too big. So, you know, how flexible are you willing to be? So don't be sacrificing to the point of resentment. And then how much effort are you actually willing to put in? Because some people really aren't willing to put much effort into this area, and other people are very willing to put that in.
Yeah.
Is it something that you can develop over time? Absolutely. You know, that will change over the course of a relationship anyway. But I think if your baseline expectations aren't being met and you've talked about it at length and that's still not that's still not getting anywhere, then your incompatibility may not be surmountable.
Right.
So, you know.
So back to our email and this woman who got in touch with the show. What are some of the things she can do maybe herself?
There's loads of things she can do herself, you know, that she can definitely masturbate, very obviously. And that is something that you can talk to your partner. You can say to your partner, honey, I'm going off to have a wank. And if you'd like to join in, I'd love you to. You know, that you don't have to keep that as something shameful, nor do you have to use it as a punishment towards your partner and say, you know, you're not sort of servicing me, so I have to go and do this on my own. It's not to be done as a guilt trip, but you can certainly let your partner in and say, you know, this is it's a healthy, normal thing to have differing sex drives, and not just in general, but over time down to, that could be hormones, it can be medications, it can be your environment, it can be all sorts of things, your health. There's going to be loads of reasons why people will have specifically, you know, mismatched sex drives. So masturbating is a great thing. Then improving on your own to begin with, like you could be doing some journaling or just reflecting on what is it that you want to be getting out of sex. Like usually it's not just the orgasm.
Yeah.
It's not just the physical act of sex. Sometimes it's that one person has a big focus on penetration, and I find that that's still more common with people with penises, that the penetration, especially, you know, sort of penis and vagina or PIV sex, has a big focus, where people with vulvas and vaginas often find that quite emotionally and physically taxing. So moving away from the focus being on penetration can be really great. So that person, this woman who's written in, can have a think about that. And, you know, then you can start talking to your partner about loads of this.
So there is hope, you know, and I suppose when you're in a relationship, especially a long-term relationship, it can change. So, you know, over the years, your compatibility. But there is hope that you can find a common ground to suit you both, right? As long as you're willing, I suppose.
Yeah, and there's loads of things you can do together. You know, you can watch porn together, you can buy some toys, you can talk about your fantasies. Sometimes people just haven't put the time in to just developing their fantasy life. So that's another thing that we can do both for ourselves and for and with our partners. And you can also talk about your hang-ups, you know, try and be as non-judgmental and non-defensive as possible when you're talking about this with your partner. And really good idea to talk about that outside of sex, you know, when you're on a long walk with the dog or something, that you can talk about your different both fantasies and hang-ups. You know, where that you just give each other some space, and then also taking the pressure off sex itself and putting it maybe more on emotionally connecting with each other, and also on pleasurable sensations that don't have to be specifically sexual. Or maybe hair brushing, or, you know, different types of things that you can do. And then, of course, you can see a sex therapist. And then I know that a lot more people these days are considering finding ways to comfortably have sex with other people where it's all above board. You know, if one person just really, really doesn't want to have sex, but you, for many reasons, would like to stay together, that can also be something that you do, that you open it up. It doesn't have to mean that it's a free for all, but that there are many ways that you can still make that feel safe and as comfortable as possible for every person. You know, and then there's even things like being mindful of your accelerators and brakes. Emily Nagasaki has a book where she talks about instead of referring to sex drive, think of it more like having a car with a brake and an accelerator. You know, some people have sensitive brakes, meaning they can easily become uninterested in sex because of other priorities. And some people have sensitive accelerators, meaning that they're easily reminded of and interested in sex, like a sensitive sort of gas pedal. So we typically think we need more pressure on the accelerator, when in reality, often we need less pressure on the brakes. So what that might mean, for instance, is for a busy mom who, you know, for the majority of women, I find, are still doing the majority of child rearing and maybe even, you know, sort of housework, they might have a more sensitive brake pedal. So it's just going to be more likely that you're going to feel more up for and ready for sex if the kids are sorted, the laundry, you know, and the dishes are done and there's nothing else going on. So just having that as something to consider about what in terms of your sex life and sex drive or arousal is going to put the brakes on and what sort of speeds you up both individually and together.
Good advice. I'm getting a lot of texts into 51552 just as you're speaking. So I'm just going to read them out to you, see if you can help. It says, Jen, I am exactly like the lady who got in touch with your show, but honestly, I'd never be brave enough to get in touch because I feel a little ashamed and not loved, this texter says. My husband doesn't like sex that much. He's very loving, but not into sex. And when we are trying for our first baby, that caused a lot of tension. We are now planning a second baby. Any advice on how to make it easier when he isn't into it? And I don't want him to feel like it's a chore.
Talk to him about how he might feel that it's less of a chore. You know, that you don't have to do all the work for your partner here. That it's lovely to be considerate of them and to not want them to feel uncomfortable, obviously. But also, you know, sit down and have them think about it, because you're not psychic. You're not telepathic. It's not your job to do that for someone else. And sometimes it's hard and uncomfortable to take the personal responsibility of doing that. But, you know, there are loads of ways you can bring that up as well. Like, some things that you can actually say are things like, I think it would be really hot for us to fill out a yes, no, maybe list, or you might call it a sex menu. Does that sound like something you might want to do together? You might say something like, I miss the way you smell and taste, would love to look at our schedules together to talk about how we might make more time for us sexually. You might say something like, I've been reading a bit about bondage and I think that's something I might like to try. Is that something you've any experience with or interest in? You know, if this is someone where it's quite a new relationship, you might say something like, before we get to know each other further, I want you to know that this specific kink is an important component of sexual relationships to me. How do you feel about that? You know, so this can't be a one-sided conversation, but that, of course, it feels a bit uncomfortable and embarrassing, excuse me, to bring these things up.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that's okay. It's okay to feel embarrassed and to be able to get through it and not, you know, it's very kind to want to protect our partners from feeling embarrassed or ashamed, but that doesn't usually help
anywhere. Yeah, and you'd be stronger after you know, having that embarrassing conversation. Another text, Rachel. Jen, my boyfriend seems to like sex but would never initiate it, which is a problem, as I would prefer to feel a little more wanted. I've said this to him but nothing has changed.
Yeah, so you're probably going to have to bring up these things quite a few times and get the other person to verbally commit to changing their behavior.
Okay.
Because often, you know, the chat is the first step. Great, you're having the chat. But it's very easy for any of us to, in the moment, be like, oh, yeah, this is great. I feel connected to you. This makes sense. And I'm going to now, you know, yeah, this will definitely change. But usually we don't actually commit to the behavioral change. So getting the other person to say like, well, what actually are we going to make different? And you can do that in a very, you know, collaborative way. You don't have to be demanding that the person like write down on bullet points to put in the fridge so that they have to stick to them. But that you can say like, right, how are we actually going to make this happen, rather than just talking about it?
Verbal and then commitment,
Then you can also. Yeah, and then it also means that once you've committed to those behavioural changes, you can also talk about how, if those aren't happening, or you want to remind your partner, how would they most like to be reminded so that they don't feel defensive or upset? Now, that still might happen the odd time, and that's okay. But that, you know, you can say, right, so I would really like for us to be, if you've agreed that you're going to, for instance, make more time in the week to have sex and you're both on board with that, then you can say like, right, so if it comes around to Saturday morning and, you know, you're not initiating, what would you like me to do or say to sort of encourage that a bit?
Another text, I think we've time for one more. Hi, Jen. I would like to remain anonymous, but my partner of 7 years and I have different libidos. Mine is a lot higher. While we have a very passionate and loving relationship, I did find the difference hard a few times, but now it's quality over quantity. And for me, I use porn, visual, audio and written, depends on what I feel like when I feel the need. And then I don't feel like I'm missing out. And I've also become more aware of my own body and my pleasure by doing this. And therefore, for it has improved my sex life also. So that's a really interesting text. I mean, it seems that, you know, if you do find you have a higher sex drive or libido than your partner, there's a lot you can do yourself to make it easier on yourself, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, I feel like I could have written that text myself, you know, that it's a brilliant way to put across that you can absolutely bridge these gaps and taking responsibility for yourself. There is loads you can do. And yeah, then that focus is really lovely on quality over quantity, because you can still get the quantity in yourself through masturbation, through porn, if you choose to do that, through your own, you know, fantasizing, through, you know, potentially not even necessarily through sexual element. You know, a lot of sex can be more about feeling emotionally connected and also just feeling pleasurable sensations, you know. So I think even just figuring out how you can do that by, it could be, you know, maybe not in lockdown times, but, you know, getting massages, yeah, or making sure that you spend time with, you know, if you have a pet, that just being able to have physical touch is such a biological need for us that can be a big aspect too. So I love, love, love that text.
Amazing. Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thank you so much for that. And just to let people know, you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end of it. And she'll be back next week. So if you have any more questions, if you would like her to chat about anything in particular, you can get in touch with the show and the team 24/7 on jen@rte.ie.
It's okay, you can all come out now, because sex therapist Rachel has now left the building.
Okay. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.